good evening, everybody. My name is Cheryl Catherine Smith.
I'm Ash Riot.
And we are Hologram, and welcome to the Hologram Radio Show today on Sunday, August 14th. Another lovely day. Ash and I just returned from Whistler Mountain.
I have so many mosquito bites. I seriously, like, oh man, I look tattooed with bites.
You look tattooed more than you're tattooed.
Yeah, I know. Seriously, I can't count them.
I think your tattoos are more attractive than your bump tattoos.
Thank you.
So.
Thank you. That's nice. It's nice to know.
Yeah. The latest in tattoo beauty. Bunch of red bumps all
red
over.
Red welts. Yeah. I'm starting a trend.
You never know.
I have it in my eyebrows. It hurts. We just got back today from Whistler. It was awesome. We were DJing.
We worked a wedding right by the river, and that's why. Or no, it was Green Lake, right by Green Lake in Whistler. And we were in an open tent for a while, and then we were in a lodge that had open windows, and the mosquitoes were happening.
I swear that place was built on a nest. No, seriously, like.
And mosquitoes love to eat ash. There's something about her blood. She's sweeter than I am, that's for sure. Yeah. I only came back with a few.
Yeah.
I'm not so sweet.
You're still sweet.
Oh, no, I don't think
just
so.
You have a pact with them.
That's right. We have an agreement. I won't kill them if they don't suck my blood.
And I just bat them away because I don't feel I can kill them.
I know. You're just... I know. That's beautiful about you, Ash. I'm kind to them too, but when they're actually on me and I can see them filling up with my blood, I kind of draw the line there.
Once I felt so bad because I swatted my arm away, like I thought I had something on me, and then I look and there's like a big blood stain and it was from a mosquito. I felt so bad.
Well, isn't this something? Here we are. Our topic today is about death, and we're talking about the death
intro.
Of mosquitoes. Do we kill them or do we not? That is the question.
Call in
with your this is a really important topic for us. I mean, every topic that we do has some kind of resonance, or it's definitely relevant to us. Otherwise, obviously, we wouldn't do it. This is Let's Talk About Death, Baby. Let's Talk About You and Me. And we obviously took it off the song, Let's Talk About Sex, Baby. Let's Talk About You and Me. So here we are. Let's Talk About Death, Baby. So maybe, you know, I think the reason why we chose to call this that particular title is not to make light of death. Because certainly when people are experiencing it on the other side, meaning you've lost somebody, it's very, very, very acute and feels very painful. But what my intention is to lighten up on death a little bit. And as we all know, death is a part of each of our experiences ultimately at some point, because all of us come and all of us are leaving. And, so I think how we deal with death and what we think about death has quite a relevance to how we live our lives. So we are going to be talking about death, and we invite you to join us. You can call us at 888-815-9756 and share your thoughts and ideas on this topic with us. And I want to start with, again, I'm totally a Wiki fan.
I've never go on Wikipedia. I'd never go on. I should start.
Other than when you were on Wikipedia, and then you're not on anymore.
I don't think so.
You'll be back on. Anyways, I looked up death on Wiki, and there's something I found that I thought was really relevant to this, and I'd like to quote it. So again, just to avoid any kind of plagiarism, I'm letting you know it's from Wikipedia, under death, and this is how it goes. The nature of death has been for a millennia a central concern of the world's religious traditions and of philosophical inquiry, and a belief in some kind of afterlife or rebirth has been a central aspect of religious faith. In modern scientific inquiry, the origin and nature of consciousness has yet to be fully understood. Any such view about the existence or non-existence of consciousness after death, therefore, remains speculative. So the key points here for me that I wanted to touch upon personally, and I know Ash is going to talk about this too, but key tributes would be that some kind of afterlife or rebirth, which is a central aspect of religious faith, and also the nature of consciousness. I want to talk about the nature of consciousness, and everybody has a different viewpoint on death. Some people believe that once you die, you're done. So there is no continuation. Death is a full stop. You just go into nothingness. And some people believe that you do, in fact, continue. And I think, Ash, maybe you want to start maybe talking a little bit about what you were talking about earlier with me with regards to the religious aspects of how death is viewed.
To be quite honest, like, I never really got... Like, I remember thinking when I was a kid going, okay, I wonder what it would be like just to stop. I remember going to Zeller's one time with my mom and walking down this big escalator. I don't like heights. I don't mind them. It depends. If I feel safe, then I'm cool. But it was just, the escalator was just too busy. And so I remember thinking, I wonder what would happen if I fell down the escalator and died. I was probably like 7. And then I thought, whoa, that would feel weird. Imagine if I wasn't here anymore. And in that moment, I had this like recognition that there's no possible way for my soul to be extinguished. Like, there's no way. Like, I just know that it can't. And, you know, I went to a Christian school, and I had a lot of religion in my life, mostly Christianity, from the time I was born till a while back. You know, I just kind of gradually grew out of conforming to anything. And it just in that moment, I went, wow, okay, all this that I've been fearing and everything that I've been taught to fear really has no relevance. My soul, like, I realized that it really cannot be extinguished, as I said. So if our souls can't be extinguished, it led to the thought, where the heck do I go? And then I thought, well, okay, is there a heaven and a hell? And then I thought back to school and what I was taught in school. There's a heaven and there's a hell, and if you do something bad, you're going to hell. And I, like, from a young age, I started pondering that, like, you know, what's different from heaven than hell? Okay, one's good, one's bad, one's black, one's white, sort of thing. And I never really wanted to believe that, because I really don't believe that to live in fear is living. And Christianity to me. And well, there's a lot of religions, really. I'm not going to focus on just calling that one out. But living in fear really takes the life out of you, I believe. And I was looking up, you know, just different, I guess, laws of Christianity and their views on death. And I was shaking my head, and I was talking to Cheryl earlier about it. And it just, after you read, and I'll read some of them in a little bit after Cheryl speaks more as well. After even reading one or two of them, the feeling is not a feeling of settled, you know, inspiration. And that's what I believe religion should be. Anti-religion. No fear, you know, feeling settled and feeling inspired. Because, I mean, if you're not inspired to live and you're just worrying about death, why worry about death? Why worry about death at all? And I think once we kind of figure out, you know, that we're not going to be extinguished, and that really, you know, you're not going to go to hell if you don't conform to a set of rules. I think it opens just the gate to life a lot easier.
I think that it's important that we have a freedom around death. And, mm-hmm. and what I'm hearing you say is that there's constrictions.
Yeah.
Whenever we have any kind of philosophy or religious philosophy or philosophy telling us that there's certain ways that we have to behave and certain things that we have to do to almost, you know, win the prize of heaven or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever it is. So then you're right. We do sort of set ourselves up for fear. Mm-hmm. And so there's no freedom.
Right.
And, I feel very strongly that there's two probably, I don't know, the word crimes comes up, but it's not really apt, but there's two ways of looking at this that I think that don't serve. For one thing is, if any of us are living our lives either A, scared to death of death, get the pun, or B, feeling that we're setting up our rights to a heaven in this life. So we're not even really focusing on living. We're mostly focusing on, am I doing good? Am I following the rules? And I can speak from personal experience here, because this isn't about pointing fingers and saying, you guys shouldn't be doing this. This is me saying, I've been there. I remember when I was very much involved in my religion, that's all that I did actually feel, was there was just so much fear and guilt. I questioned every move I made. I questioned every thought I had. I was definitely intent on making it to heaven, and doing good and making sure that I wasn't one of those that ended up in hell for eternity to burn where there was gnashing of teeth. I mean, my God, how crazy that is now that I look back. But that was my reality. So, you know, there's two ways of not fully living and having freedom in this life. One of them is to be afraid of death, and then you're preoccupied with the fear of it. And the second thing is to basically live your life, not even in it. You're just thinking of the afterlife and the reward, and not noticing and recognizing that the reward is this life.
Exactly.
This is the reward.
That's the point.
What we're doing now in each moment is our heaven or hell. Joseph Campbell talked about that. The man who I love so much, Power of Myth, and he said, follow your bliss. And one of the things he spoke about was eternity. And he said, there is no eternity other than in this moment. Your eternity, our eternity, lies within each and every one of our moments. So this is the only thing we really know. You know, even 10 minutes ago has gone. So all I have is right now. And you know, if we sort of live our lives and recognize that eternity is in the moment and are fully present, then we're not even worried about death, because, you know, that'll take care of itself when we get to that place. And we're also not really worrying about the future, which is basically building up this kind of idea of heaven. Is you're not even in your moments when you're worried and preoccupied with your behavior. And setting yourself up thinking that, you know, everything you do in this life will bring you something after this life, then you're not enjoying this life. You're not fully present. So those are the two things that I find that really don't serve any of us. Any of us is to be afraid of death, and also to not be thinking about living our lives because we're preoccupied with making sure we get to heaven, as opposed to living our heaven here on earth.
Exactly. Like, I mean, the point that you made, that I was just thinking about it, that, like, the reward really is right now. Because, I mean, this really isn't, like, I don't view life as you're just climbing a set of stairs to get to heaven. Like, I really just view it as the actual palace. You know, I know there's a lot of, like, crazy crap. I don't know if I can say shit, but I said it. Anyway, there's a lot of stuff here that really, really can damage you. And it's the common belief that once you're in heaven, there's nothing that can damage you. Or that it's, whatever you do in this life, as soon as you get to heaven, it's completely abolished and you're free. But I just believe that whatever you're doing now is the most important thing. Just like you said, all we have is now. Like, you know, 10 minutes ago is gone. So if you're dwelling on, you know, what could be even viewed as a sin 10 minutes ago, you know, what are you doing with now? You're living in fear right now.
And then you're not fully present.
That's right.
Right? Because, I mean, fear is constricting. It's a horrible feeling. I was just thinking of Marianne Williamson. She talked about I just lost my train of thought.
Marianne Williamson.
Yeah. She's from, she's the teacher of the Course of Miracles, which is based in California. There's some California doctors, and I can't remember their names. I don't have them in front of me, and I'm not fast enough on my iPhone to figure out how to get them. But just speaking about just getting into death, I can't remember right this moment. I'm tired.
She's really tired. And you know what I was thinking about when you said Marianne Williamson?
Yeah.
Is one thing that I want to talk about, even though it's not really about death, but it's just kind of, it fits in for me. It really does, because it's kind of a guide for me.
Okay.
But, and I hope that, you know, we can share this with other people if they're listening. But every single day I pay attention to signs and all the numbers for Doreen Virtue.
Yes.
That is amazing. I'm really like conscious of what I'm doing. I'm conscious of any guidance. I'm conscious of like angelic support and all that. Along, like, I don't know, about a year ago or something, Cheryl introduced me to Doreen Virtue. She has a whole set
angel numbers, yeah, sequential angel numbers and whatnot, yeah.
And what they mean, like, you know, 111, what that could mean, or 777, or, you know, even 711, or, you know, and it's just, it's actually really, really accurate for me. It always has been since Cheryl showed this to me.
That's cool.
And you really got to check it out because, like, to me, I mean, like what you were talking about being fully present and stuff.
Yes.
If you're not fully present and you're worried about all that other crap, how are you going to pay attention to those angelic signs? How are you going to pay attention to any signs? I think the more we're preoccupied with trying to get somewhere in this life, we're not going to be anywhere.
Well, I think again, living outside of fear means that we have trust, right? When we're in fear, there's no trust. Mm-hmm. So I know people that I've even worked with that I would consider acquaintances or friends. I've worked with them in the music business or I've met them, you know, through other people that I know full well they don't have any faith in anything outside themselves, that they're very much involved in their own minds, more so than their own hearts. And I mean, there's a differentiation between mind and heart and whatever you want to call soul. And getting to that, I want to talk about proof of consciousness after death, because that was one of the things in Wiki. It said that in modern scientific inquiry, the origin and nature of consciousness is yet to be fully understood, and any such view about the existence or non-existence of consciousness after death therefore remains speculative. And this is interesting too, because Dr. Ken Ring published a paper in the Journal of Near-Death Studies in the summer of 1993, and this was concerning near-death experiencers. And he offered this as proof of consciousness after death, because what he proved in his study was that experiencers of near death, while out of their bodies, witness real events that occur far away from their dead body. And the important aspect of that research is that these events seen far away are later verified to be true. So there's no possible way that this person who actually died could have known, you know, if something even 1,000 miles away, you know, they're actually there, and they're viewing something that's occurring, and then they verify it after they come back and say, well, this is what I saw or this is what I heard, and each of these are seen to be as proof, you know, how
that's
science is
proof.
About proof, right? And proof that consciousness continues. So if we view our bodies as shells, they're basically vehicles for us to have the physical experience. If we see our bodies as a shell that's housing that consciousness, whether you want to call it soul
or spirit,
that is in effect the true essence of us, the true we.
Is inside.
Right? The true me is inside the shell. And once the shell is shed, almost like a snake's skin, and I continue, where do I go? Right? That's the next step.
Well, I mean, think about it. Like, that's proof, like what you and I have been saying for a long time. There is no death. If there was death, how would what you just talked about, you know, being really far away from your shell and knowing things? Like, that's not fluke. That's not coincidence.
Well, not just knowing things, but actually being witness and bearing witness to things the same way we do in our shell. So it's having the same experience without the body, right? So I would like to, at this point, ask dear Don if he would be so kind as to play our song, Joy No Longer Divided, because we actually speak about what you just said,
there
Ash.
There being no death. And y'all better listen to that song. And then call us at 888-815-9756. Call in. We got hugs for you.
We have beautiful hugs over the airwaves, over the internet waves. So, Don, if you'd be so kind to play Joy No Longer Divided, and we'll discuss it after we hear the song. Thank you.
crystal ship has sailed through. The glass of feathers ruffled true. Life as I know is gone by again. I call to you, my fettered friend, and ask forgiveness, good light and love. These things do not come from up above, but from within and all around. The world is made of me as clown. Joy no longer divided. We all are one and sided. So come on, baby, write it. Hell in it, we're united. We are united. Joy no longer divided. Cleanse my tattered sins from the beginning and back again. Help me not to see the end, for it does not exist, my bitter friend. Release the hounds and horses' screams. Let the sound of shivers breathe. Crying God and love for sale. I am a knight of castles veiled. Join no
was our song, Hologram Song, Joy No Longer Divided. And for those of you who didn't quite get the lyrics, I'm just going to state them and then we can talk a little bit about them. The crystal ship has sailed through, the glass of feathers ruffled true. Life as I know has gone by again. I call to you, my fettered friend, and ask forgiveness, give light and love. These things do not come from up above, but from within and all around. The world is made of me, its clown. Joy no longer divided. We all are one inside it. So come on, baby, write it. And in it, we're united. But I have cleansed my tattered sins from the beginning and back again. Help me not to see the end, for it does not exist, my bitter friend. Release the hounds and horses' screams. Let the sound of shivers breathe. Crying gone and love for sale, S-A-I-L. I am a knight of castles veiled. Come ship, come crystal, come surgent sea. Within the stormy depths of me lies a calm that knows no end, because this is not the end, my friend. It's not the end. And that is basically our idea and thoughts on death in one song.
Yeah, definitely. Even to hear, like, I heard her, you know, singing that song over and over because, you know, we wrote it and played guitar and we would be just, you know, like,
jamming it.
We jam all the time and you know, just countlessly, like, just song after song after song. I've played thousands of songs with you, I'm sure, over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our songs thousands of times. And every time I hear her do that song, it's just like, it takes me to another level because, those words, like, even though, you know, I hear them all the time, it doesn't stop affecting me because I think, okay, you know, as musicians, we have a responsibility to reach people. I mean, so many musicians just, you know, really sang what was inside them and their views. And I mean, a lot aren't really, really not heard. And I really hope to, be ones that are heard. Us just with even just the ideals, because I mean we don't want to be musicians for the sake of any fame or anything like that. I mean if there is fame, it's going to be for the right reasons, and it's with songs like this and with messages like this. I mean, you know, I draw upon like even Jim Morrison, and I don't know, I just feel like he was one of the great ones. He's definitely one of the great ones who really made me think about death and if it existed. So yeah, I've been listening to The Doors a lot lately. Go listen to The Doors.
well, obviously, the lyric, you know, for those of you who know The Doors, The Crystal Ship Has Sailed Through, that comes right from Jim Morrison, right? Because that's where the influence is right there.
Yeah.
And so if you think of your life as, you know, sailing through, and if you're on the other side, you know, when you're actually maybe, you're probably even looking at your body and going, wow, this is a whole new experience for me. I'm gone. I'm dead. And what would you be speculating about? You know, mm-hmm. we talked about the forgiveness and love and the importance of it. And it doesn't come from anything outside ourselves. It doesn't come from religion. It doesn't come from anything outside of ourselves. It comes from within. So mm-hmm. everything that we are intrinsically is absolute perfection. And how many of us believe that?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say very, very minimal amount of us believe that we are intrinsically perfect. I think most of us feel that we're imperfect, striving because we're just not good enough and we're striving for something. But what if we were all good enough and we believed it and we lived in love and peace?
Mm-hmm.
And then when we're actually passing on, when we die, we can live and reflect
exactly.
on our legacy. You know, look at a really great legacy.
And being present, right? Like being present, actually being present enough to write a lyric like you wrote for Joy No Longer Divided, or being present enough to even talk on a radio show or whatever. I mean, if we're fearing the last 10 minutes of our life or the last 4 years of our life, what are we going to be doing right now? Okay, I got a caller. Dear Jax on line 3, we would love to speak with thee.
Hello.
Oh Lord.
I'm tired too. Don't hold it against me.
That was beautiful. Dear Jax on line 3, we would like to speak with thee. That sounds like a rap song.
So how are you doing?
Oh, all right.
Sup?
So it's funny actually. I was just talking about this on a completely unrelated little blog radio thing this morning.
Wow.
Where they were like, because that's one of the big debates in the Jedi path is, in the Jedi code, it says there is no death, there is the Force. And, you know, people are like, you know, it's on the surface, you're like, of course there's death. People die. I watch things die all the time. But the whole point is to get beyond that, to recognize that, yeah, I mean, things continue on, you know, the energy, the spirit, the spark within us continues on. Really, to me, there's nothing more illogical than saying we're going to put all this effort into creating a human being, and we're going to, you know, because it takes a bit of an investment, you know, just to create a human being anyway, and then to, you know, keep them alive and create this whole world and life before them, and then just stop. Like, what's the point? Why would the universe put all that energy into creating a life just to have it go absolutely nowhere afterwards? It's completely illogical. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me at all. So,
I totally get that.
Strange to even think of that.
I totally get that. You know, it's like, that's what I always thought. That's going back to my story of going down the escalator. I thought, holy crap, like, I wonder what it's like when I die. And then I actually thought of the whole scenario of just being snuffed out completely and going, I wonder what it'll feel like. And I'm thinking, well, if I know what it feels like, obviously I'm not dead. Like, or you know what I mean? Like, it just blows my mind completely. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah, so it's, I don't know, to me, death is always a two different situations for me. I don't worry about what's going to happen after I die. I'm confident of what's going to happen. I'm not worried at all. I know that I have a bunch of options available to me, and I'll do whatever I want, probably just to continue on and go home. But whatever, I'll figure that out when I die, because that's probably going to be a very long time from now. But,
well, exactly.
So, like, on the surface, I'm cool. I'm cool with people dying in general. You know, like, I don't want people to die, obviously. But, you know, I recognize that they're going to continue on with their process as well. And, you know, they'll get to peace eventually if they don't get it immediately for whatever their belief system is. But then there's the part of me that recognizes that my wife is very ill. And she's had many near-death experiences in the past 12 years. And most of them, and really in the past 5 or 6. And that's a damn scary situation. I mean, that I'm not okay with. I know that I would be okay eventually. I don't expect her to even come close to living as long as I do. So I expect that I'm going to have to face this, whether I want to or not, because it'll never be, you know, long enough. But, you know, that doesn't mean that I'm going to be like, yes, I'm cool with that. You just die whenever you need to. Like, no. I can know exactly what's going to happen afterwards, and still I'm like, no, because in the end, I think what bothers people a lot about death is, you know, they'll be okay. Most people will say, yes, they're in heaven now, and that's great. They're happy. But there's that hole that's left when a person leaves. And that's the thing that I find the biggest challenge with is, you know, learning to live without whoever left. That's where I think the biggest challenge of death comes. Except for the people that are truly absolutely terrified because they think they're going to go to hell or something. But to me, that's where the biggest challenge is.
I agree with you, Jax. It's the person who's left behind who suffers the most, and you're right. It's that sense of that big hole. If we were to look at the whole, our own experience, our life experience of time, for example, I don't know how old you are, but if you were to look back, say, 20 years ago, and you have a memory of 20 years ago, it probably feels very present. It feels very much now. And then you might even marvel and go, oh, my goodness, 20 years. Wow, that's just flown by. I can't believe that memory. You know, 20 years. What does 20 years feel like? For a lot of us, when we're remembering a long stretch of time ago, we recognize that there really is no time. And this is a whole other topic, but the reason why I bring this up is when we lose somebody, we think that it's forever. That hole, we feel, how will that hole ever be filled? But if we were to take ourselves from now into our death and thinking of us reconnecting with this individual that we've lost, in that moment, I believe, we're just going to go, I can't believe it. You know, it was 40 years ago, but it's like nothing. It was like yesterday. And so the belief is and the feeling is with time that we get constrained even by time and feeling that death is forever. And I had an experience, I mean, when I was a child, I knew very much that death was a part of life because I lost three very important people in my life within the span of a year when I was 8 years old. I lost my father, I lost my godfather, and I lost my grandfather within a year. And as a child, I, you know, death smacked me right in the face because, especially with my father's death, I just had a sense of, oh, it was such pain and such a sense of loss. I didn't think it could ever be okay. And I realize now that everyone who experiences death in that moment when someone is gone, our first reaction is they're gone for good. And how can we live without them? And I had a dream 2 nights after my father's passing. I believe it was 2 nights. And he was in my dream. And he told me, we were just at the local mall right up from my home. He said to me, I saw him, and I ran up to him, and I said, Daddy, Daddy. you're dead. And he said to me, no, Sherry. He called me Sherry. He said, no, Sherry, I'm not dead. I'm not dead. And I remember waking up from that dream, and I was so happy that my father wasn't dead. And when I woke up and I recognized that I was in a different reality, the reality was in my physical world that my father was in fact dead in the physical body. It kind of, you know, it was quite hard. But when I looked back at it later on in my life, I recognized, and you might think I'm crazy, but I recognized that it was indeed him saying he wasn't dead. We live different realities. Do you agree, Jax?
Oh, yeah. But to me, it's, you know, imagine a person that has, you know, zero experiences with things. I mean, and my experiences with spirits and stuff like that is so minimal. I rely upon my wife very heavily because for her it's far easier. But for a person who doesn't know anyone who's ever, you know, been able to communicate, has never even had a dream after someone dies, you know, because while that's pretty common, it's still there are people that have never had that. To imagine losing everyone around them over time, you know, as far as their reality is concerned, they're gone. It doesn't, you know, even though that their loved ones are still in wherever they are, you know, they may even be accessible to them in their dreams, but if they don't remember them and they don't have that, it's a lot harder. So I think that's where you get the Wikipedia thing and science saying, well, we can't find this because we don't have a way to control the variables and stuff that go into being able to even detect things like spirits and energy and, you know, life after death. And especially when you have scientists that have found ways to create false near-death experiences by poking around in the brain, then it creates even more doubt for people. And then, you know, it makes the area of death even harder for them.
Yeah, well, that's why I mentioned, I did acknowledge that, Jax. I acknowledge the pain and the sense when someone loses someone that they're gone for good. I definitely understand that. I'm just saying, perhaps, what if we were to think of death as this? And this has been explained to me, or this theory was brought up to me by someone who's quite involved in death and afterlife. What if we were to see death as if we're walking into another room? Almost as if we've left one room, gone into another, and the room is a mirror and reflection of the world and the room that we've just left. And the person, if you were to take a physical body and a physical body, they can both interact. If you were to take a non-physical body and a non-physical body, then they can interact. But if you were to take a physical body and a non-physical body, then how does that interaction occur? And this is what you're talking about when you're talking about spirits. And we sort of say they've gone to heaven or they're not here anymore. I don't know where they are. And so they're not in physical form. They're in a spirit form. If in fact they are, we're talking earlier about the proof of consciousness after death, right? The Dr. Ken Ring journal. And so if we were to be open-minded, this is why I brought up the whole concept of time, because when we lose someone, in the moment of losing someone who's so dear to us, it literally is heart-ripping. It feels as if we've ripped something from us, and we feel a sense of despair and a sense of loss and loneliness and depth of pain. And I know this because I've gone through it. And there's a person who's recently passed within the last 3 days. In the musicians community here, and she was young, and she's being mourned in a really big way. So yes, the people that are left behind are the ones that are going, ow, ow, and feeling the loss.
Yeah.
But if we were to let go of all of our preconceived ideas of death and even time, can we recognize that? Or believe that we will actually be joined in some way, or, you know, once we go into that non-physical reality, or that we'll know we can reconnect with them, or that they're not, maybe they're not even gone.
Maybe they're not gone. Look at your beautiful baby.
Well, I had to put my dog down 3 days ago, August 11th. I was with my dog. She was with me since she was 6 weeks old. She was 15 years and 2 months, and she had been in respiratory distress, and I wanted her to pass with me. I wanted her to pass naturally, and I didn't want to face having to take her to the vet and put her down. I fought that so hard. I just wanted to be with her. I wanted it to be comfortable. But the best thing I could do for her would be to take her out of pain. And Ash was wonderful. Ash came. It was a quick decision I had to make. And Ash came with me to the vet. And I held her as they administered the shot. And I just told her how I loved her, and I cried, and I still feel the loss. I still feel the loss, but I also feel that it was best for her. I think this is the thing with death, is sometimes we get so caught up in our own feelings around it, around what we're missing out, what we're losing, mm-hmm. that we forget about the individual. You know, for example, an individual who's in a lot of pain because of cancer or something, and we just don't want to lose them because we have an attachment. But letting them go can be the best thing if we are, I guess, it's an unselfishness, right? It's a sense of trust and knowing that we haven't lost, and that's the hardest thing with death, is to believe that we have not lost anything. But most of us in death feel loss, that something is lost. And yes, I'm not negating that we have lost an experience of not being able to call up our friend, or me being able to go home and know that Anna's going to be there waiting for me at the door like she always is, right? I'll never say that death is an easy thing, but what I'd like to say is that maybe if we reformulate our ideas around death, if we have a greater understanding of what death is, then maybe we won't be so afraid of it, or maybe we won't give it so much power in despair and pain. That's kind of where I'm coming from.
That's exactly it. I mean, if we actually stop to, accept it and not fear it, what the doors that are going to open, man, like, seriously. And oh, I also wanted to congratulate you, Jax and Carrie, on your anniversary tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
Yep. Thanks.
How many years?
12
years.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, dear Jax and Carrie. Happy anniversary to you and many more. Yeah.
That was a gift. I will make you a mixtape and send it your way.
Hey, you better do that.
I will. Thank you for clarifying.
So I fully believe a person only dies when it's their time. They die when they're ready. A near-death experience, from my understanding, is simply what happens when a person, they have, something happens to them, obviously. It could result in their death, but when that process happens, Neil Donald Walsh has a really cool explanation of what happens. Who knows if that's right? I don't know. I don't remember it. I haven't done it anytime soon, I don't think. So, but like the way he explains it is, after you pass, you go and you kind of do a little review, and there's a chance they basically ask you, are you done? Or do you want to go back? You get a chance as your soul, like not as your little ego self. Your soul is asked, are you done, or was this just an oops? And if it's an oops, you go back and you continue your life. You have a near-death experience that you may or may not remember, and you continue on. So, the time of our deaths are absolutely controlled by our souls. And so we never die when we're not supposed to. So, there are so many ways that I've become far more comfortable with death over the years. That's certainly one of them. But it's still not, it's definitely never going to be easy to watch the people that are closest to you leave, even when you know that it's totally in their best interest. Because life changes completely for you. So I think it's absolutely critical to not be terrified of death.
Exactly.
I'm struggling with trying to say, know how much to say and not get in trouble. So it's very possible that if you will go wherever you believe you will go after you die, if you hold on to it strongly enough. So if a person believes that they are going to hell or to purgatory, or they just aren't going anywhere, they'll end up in a place of their own creation that is that. They can create their own hell, they can create their own purgatory, and then they're stuck there until they decide they can leave, which is not, it's not a good way to go. But if you can, if a person at least is open to the fact that either they don't know, but they're willing to see what'll happen, or, you know, that they're going to go to heaven, or that they'll be greeted by their loved ones and stuff, and then they'll go on just fine, and that, you know, they're not going to have pain and suffering after death or anything. It's just going to be a very peaceful, loving process to transition home. And so, you know, I think it's absolutely important that people release this horrible fear of, you know, I have to be good in this life or my afterlife is going to be crap, because, and all it does is create a really crappy situation for them when they die, and that sucks.
Exactly. Who wants a crappy situation? I seriously believe it's just walking into the other room, like Cheryl said, and you know what? In the wise words of Jim Morrison, break on through to the other side. Okay? I listen to The Doors a lot now. And anyway.
You're going to be greeted by Jim Morrison is what's going to happen.
That would be awesome.
I think I like what you said. It's absolutely critical that we don't fear death. I think for our own life experience to be all that better, much better, it's important that each of us heed that, because we don't want to be focusing on the ending without enjoying the middle, right? Life is inevitably about change, losing people, whether it's through death or through breakups or through people moving away, you know, friendships or, you know, transition. I mean, I've even lost friends. We've consciously decided to part ways, and it has nothing to do with death or even moving. It's just that we change. We change through life. We change who we are. We change our, you know, our interests or whatnot. And I think it's important that we all just kind of be okay with the flow of life and not get too attached to anything. And that's where the biggest freedom is and the biggest life experiences are for each of us. And I also want to say that it's important what you said about people's beliefs will create their experience. I'm right there with you, because this again goes back to the power of our thoughts. But I'd also like to say, for people that are struggling with thoughts, because I've been there too, when you're thinking, oh my God, I have to stop this thought. I have to stop this thought. It's going to be my experience. I don't want to, blah, blah, blah. And you kind of just, you kind of melt and spiral down. I think it's just, you know, letting people know that their thoughts, this is how I view thoughts. The first thought doesn't belong to me, but if I hang on to it, then it becomes mine and I take it on. So I think if people just recognize the power of their thoughts, the power of their beliefs, and really take a look at them and ask themselves, where does this belief come from? Did I actually take it on myself? Did I decide that I wanted to believe this, for example, around death? Did I decide that I wanted to believe that death was something to be feared? Or did I decide that death was something that I needed to make sure that I've got my ducks lined up in a row so I make it to that heaven place? Or was I taught that? So I think it's important for us to always, always question ourselves, do our own personal inventory, take a look at our belief systems, and oftentimes our belief systems will change throughout our life. Don't hang on to them, because they don't always serve. So thank you, Jax. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, you're amazing, Jax.
We love you and Carrie, and it's wonderful to hear from you. It's been a while, and we look forward to your contributions always, because you always have so much to add to our show, and we really value you. So thank you so much.
It's the Hologram and Jax show.
That's right. And sometimes Carrie.
Yeah. Or Jerry.
Or Terry.
Yeah.
Anyways, Jax, happy anniversary. Our love to you and Carrie, and all the best, okay? Thank you.
Love you guys.
Bye. Bye. Love you. Bye. All right. Well, I would like to say thank you for calling, and thank you all for sharing, meaning Jax and Carrie in the background. Yeah, so basically I think what we're trying to do and trying to explore, we wanted to talk about death because we would like to see that everyone has a sense of living and life more than of death, and allowing death to be part of our lives because it's inevitable, whether we lose a pet or we lose a friend in death or a family member.
But it's also really important, like, you know, to make life a part of death and not just death a part of life, because really, I mean, to me, I'm realizing more than ever in life and in death that the two really do coexist when we're taught that they're absolute opposites. And it's, what more can I say? I mean, it's really bold to say this, but I really don't believe there is death.
Like, and I don't either. I know that there's death, the ending of a body, like I was saying, we leave our physical selves, but obviously Hologram doesn't believe in death. If you listen to our lyrics, we believe that death is something that we experience with the ending of the physical body, but not of the actual spirit, which is the essence of each of us. So we believe that life continues, and I liked what you said, Jax. It's illogical that the universe would invest that much time and care and attention to the creation of a human being.
Yeah, that's amazing.
End the life after 50, 60, 70, 100 years. So thank you for that. Thank you all for listening. We love you all. We've just got a new single out called Had to Go. That was for August the 1st. Our next single on September the 1st will be Sucker Number 93. Thank you all for supporting us. Thank you for your love. We return it. We encourage you to kiss a tree. And before we leave, I'd like to ask Dawn if you would be so kind as to play Joy No Longer Divided again. That'll be our song. You can listen to the lyrics and reflect on death and enjoy the fact that you're alive and that you're in this moment. Live in your moments. And we love you all. Bye.
Bye.
The crystal ship has sailed through. The glass of feathers ruffled true. Life as I know is gone by again. I call to you, my fettered friend. And now forgiveness, give light and love. These things do not come from up above, but from within and all around. The world is made of me is clown. Joy no longer divided. We all are one inside it. So come on, baby, write it. Hell in it, we're united. We are united. But I have cleansed my tattered sins from the beginning and back again. Help me not to see the end, for it does not exist, my bitter friend. Release a